So welcome to another episode of the Walking Down Sheepfoot Lane. We are joined by Bin Man, and we've got Paddy on for a special part two episode from his podcast earlier. How's it going, guys?
Good, mate. Good. Are you two all right?
Yeah.
All good, me, Paddy. All good. All good. You, Brad?
Yeah, I'm decent, decent. I think we recovered after the big drink we had after the Salford win.
I've just about recovered from it, to be honest.
Is that what it's come to now that we celebrate beating Salford City at home?
I'm afraid so, Patrick. When we're that bad, you know, you take any win, won't you?
Absolutely, you know? Yeah. You're not wrong.
Well, I'll go on to that, Paddy. Obviously, you watched the game, didn't you, against Salford?
I did, mate, yeah.
And what were your thoughts on it?
Well, first half was abysmal, wasn't it? We could have gone in 6-0 down at half-time and we wouldn't have really been able to have any arguments. I did text you at half-time, didn't I, and said we'll win this game because we were that bad that we couldn't possibly be any worse in the second half. Obviously, we had the wind behind us as well. You've got to give them credit, really, for the second half, you know, grinding the teeth and getting, you know, turning it around.
Yeah, I think
he's helped us out massively, Annie.
Who's that?
Their keeper for the first goal. He carried the free kick out and then fumbled at Bahambula's shot. But yeah, Salford should have been out of sight really in the first half. It was pretty abysmal.
It was. Like you texted me, Paddy. You said, you know, this can't get any worse. And you know, at the time, I thought you're right, but I thought it possibly could get any a lot worse. You know, if they come out. But it was as I would say, Paddy, it was a classic game of 2 hours, weren't it? You know,
and
we obviously took the initiative by, you know, and obviously winning. Now, what do you make of Richie Welland's comments at end? What did you think of them? You know, what he said.
I thought it was quite nice to see him so crestfallen, really, given how he made us feel in May 2018.
You still get a bit of stick for that tweet. I think you tweeted, didn't you, after the game, saying that about he was his fault for the relegation. People still don't see it.
I don't lie the blame fully at his door, but he has to take a large share of the blame for getting relegated with that side. And to be honest, look, the money that they spent at Salford, they should be running away with the league, really. They're really underachieving. Are they about sixth at the moment?
They're eighth at the moment.
Are they really? Are they that low down? I think
they've got two games in hand, though, but I think they're against decent size. I think they've got Bolton, and I think the other one's Mansfield, so not full-blown conclusions. I think Mansfield might finish in the playoffs the way they're going.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But going on about you that said there, Paddy, you know, biggest budget. And they are, because Brad mentioned it to me the other week that their player, Bruno Andrade, sits on the bench most of the game. He's on $7,500 a week, Paddy. $7,500 a week. You know, how can you justify paying that in the fourth division of English football? Surely that he, and like well he said it, you know, it's big pressure on him, isn't there? You know, and that's what he said at end. Big pressure on him to get them out of that league, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, so obviously the comments at end, obviously saying they should have been out of sight. We all know, if you watch that game, they should have been clearly out of sight at half time. If we'd have gone in at 4-0, there's no one disagreeing. So
at least, you know. I mean, his comments were right, really. You know, it would have been probably disappointed from their aspect to have drawn the game, but to lose was pretty criminal from a Salford point of view. But like you said, we take it obviously as a Latics fan, you take win any way it comes at the moment. But
of course.
I mean, what he said, he was absolutely right. But it was, I watched the full clip that Salford put on. It was lovely to see him so crestfallen, really.
You know, Brad said about, obviously, you can't lay the blame at his door. But when you do blame it at his door, I know we've discussed it, but for the podcast, Paddy, why would you blame him solely for getting relegated?
Not solely. I don't blame him wholly, but, you know, he has to take a fair share. We had players like Owen Doyle, Jack Byrne, Danny Gardiner, you know, players in that team that were capable of getting one more victory in the nine games. Kean Bryan.
Yeah.
I mean, to not get another, was it another 2 points we needed? That Doncaster game, the penultimate game of the season.
Yeah.
When they had the flip-flops on the beach already, weren't they?
Yeah.
I think that's the South End Tuesday night game where they bummed us 3-0. And it's just, you could tell, obviously, he threw his toys out of the pram big time when Abdallah came in, didn't he? threw his toys out the pram. He sulked a lot. And a bit like I said to you on the last podcast, I'm repeating myself, but the only mistake Abdallah made with Wellens was letting him get back on the team coach after Northampton.
It's a great thing. But I thought, you look at his team at Salford, I thought that game at Salford, I thought he tipped up quite well. They did. They come out the traps, all guns blazing. I know the weather was against us in the first half, but I thought they looked like a side that really could be doing it. And that's why I thought, you know, it's going to be a tough game. But we were nothing short of an absolute disgrace that first half. You know what, Paddy? I just didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, obviously, we had John Batty at centre half, and his performance gets worse and worse every week. Don't know what you think of him, Paddy.
Yeah, well, he's actually playing well, isn't it?
Yeah, he didn't offer anything at centre half. He just, obviously we've got Clark there, who's young and he's a very good player, but John Batty just keeps going back and back. I don't know. I know Pierre Gianni got a bit of shit the last couple of weeks before he got dropped, but I'd definitely have him in over John Batty at centre half.
He's a right back, though, isn't he? You know, fair play. You know, we've had him doing this, you know, slotting in at centre half, where he's a right back, you know. And sometimes I do feel sorry for him, but, you know, he should be easily slotting in there, shouldn't he, with his experience.
Near the team, I know you say he's a right back, but I've not been very impressed with him at right back either, to be honest. He's really, really poor. So he plays like he's wearing wellies most of the time. I mean, he played over 100 games for Cheltenham, didn't he? And he played for us against him the other week, and I believe that was his best Cheltenham performance.
I love it. Absolutely. But is he the reason? Is he the reason why Dino was tipped over the edge?
Well, you'll have to ask the main man yourself that next week.
It's certainly what I will be bringing that up to him, because obviously, since we signed it, apparently that's what I got told, that he were happy with the appointment of getting him in on a one-year deal.
I've heard very similar to yourself, but obviously Dino will either be able to confirm or deny it next week.
Yeah, well, we'll soon find out about that. But, yeah. You know, go on, Brad.
I was going to say, I think you got to trust Dino's judgment on John Batty. The way he's performed is nothing short of disgraceful. But one player who seems to be improving week on week, even when he comes off the bench or starts, is Keeler Dunn. I weren't too keen on him at the start of the season, but seems to be finding his feet a bit now. What do you both think of him?
Yeah, well, I'm the same as you, really. I wasn't taken with him at first. Scored a few goals in pre-season, didn't he, when no one was putting a tackle in, but he started the season pretty slowly. But then you've got to bear in mind as well, it is his first season in the EFL as well. You know, and he has taken some time to get used to it. But then, to be fair, he come on against, was it Walsall, when he scored? And then he scored in the defeat. It was a victory against Newport, and then scored a three. I think he's probably one of the first names on the team sheet at the moment.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. You know, just before Christmas, Brad's brother was tweeting about, you know, having someone like, I'd rather have Moose and David Kayla done. And I agreed with him. Now I think his performances have made me think twice. No, I think, like you said, Paddy, he's never had the Football League experience, and there's a little bit of a gap from, you know, from where he's come from and where he is now. I think we have got to pay. Is it a 1 year deal he's on, lads? I'm not too sure if he is.
I think it is, yeah. I think it is a 1 year deal.
Is it on? You know, and not, you know, I'd probably give him another year and see how it goes. But like Brad said, sometimes when he has started, I feel like he's been, you know, drifting in and out the game. And then when he's come off the bench recently, he's saved us twice, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, we have got an all right player, but, you know, only time will tell. Well, yeah, would you keep him for another year, Paddy?
You'd probably have him in and around the squad, wouldn't you? I always think, like, in that league, you want to be trying to get out the top end, or you want to be getting promoted. I'm not sure if he's a player that would get promoted from League Two, but he's probably worth having in and around the squad. I think, really, in terms of tying players down, it's your likes of your McElhenneys and your Bahambulas. You know, they're the kind of players we need to be tying down, really. I think, based on what the Yorkshire media were saying last week, McElhenney's kind of already made a decision, has he, to just see the season out at Latics and then try and move into League One.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought, yeah, well, we've heard that. We've heard, you know, obviously we're going to go Bradford, obviously. He didn't. Now, You know, what would you have done with that, Paddy? Would you think in his intentions of leaving in the summer and get rid now, or keep him and try and do something this season and let him go end the season? What would you have done? That were yours.
He's a key player for us, so I think it'd have been a bit of a no-brainer really to keep him.
Yeah.
They'd obviously, and judging off from an outsider looking in, really, I think it was a choice of getting rid of him or Danny Rowe. Obviously, both are probably going to leave. We're probably going to leave in the summer anyway. So they've taken the decision to get rid of Rowe, because Rowe's been in and out as well, and he's been injured. He wasn't catching really at the start of the season. So I think for McElhenney, he is our key player. He does, you know, he creates a lot, he scores a lot. I think I agree with them really, turning down a bid and keeping him for the summer and just letting go for on a free and say thanks for the season. Off you pop.
What's your view, Brad?
Yeah, I tend to agree. If we would have sold McElhenney in January, I think they would have been absolutely uproar. But you don't sell your best players to somebody in your own league who are below you and are a rival. So yeah, I definitely would have kept him. He might sign a contract extension, but that's only if no other League One club comes in. Obviously, he's had a bit of an injury record, which might put a few off still. But he's been pretty much injury free this season for us. I think he's been out for about 5 games, if that. Totally, yeah. But he's definitely the one for a risk to take. Obviously, we got him on a free. The one with Raw, we signed him. We tried getting a bit of money back for him. So it's a free. It's not really a loss if we do lose him in the summer, because anybody at League 2 level is replaceable.
No, I agree. But my opinion on McKennelly, were you lads, I think I was shocked to get him. I was honest, I thought he could have still done. Well, obviously, you know, he's been linked to League One club, so obviously he can do it. I was very shocked that he did come here. I think location's played in his part in coming here. I don't know what you think, Paddy.
Yeah, it probably has, really, hasn't it? Yeah. similar to you, was it Oxford fans that were a little bit surprised he dropped to our level or Fleet? I can't remember which team it was, Oxford or Fleetwood. They were really surprised he dropped to League Two. And you can see, I mean, he does like drift out of games quite often, but you can see that he's got quality that's probably above League Two standard, which is, you know, it's what, because a lot of the times, to be fair, you know, we do carry him for that 10, 15 minutes where he turns it on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, is he, like you said, Brad, you know, he's been a pivotal part of our squad this year. He's obviously only, you said he's only missed 5 games. Is that right? Is that,
don't feel like that. Missing,
yeah. I don't think he's been on the bench that much as well, has he?
No. I think he was injured back end of October, start November for a couple of games. I think that's the only time which I remember him being out.
Yeah. And how old is he, lads? How old? See, I don't even check the players' ages, you know.
He's 26.
Is he? So he's obviously still got a lot to offer, hasn't he? You know, and obviously the League One club comes in. It's just a shame we couldn't get him on a 2-year deal. I know hindsight, you know, you get him on one and he does dog shit and, you know, you want to get rid, but hindsight, be good to get him on a 2-year deal, wouldn't it? And or maybe get him tagged down now and let him go for a fee in the summer.
That could be from his end as well, though, that maybe for, you know, I'll give you a year and then I'll explore my options again next summer. That, you know, that could have been from either angle.
You know, I think, like I say, I'll still stick to the point of a location for me, because I think Fleetwood, I think he was there 3 years, weren't he? I think he was there a bit.
He's a Scouser as well, isn't he, as well? So
yeah, I think it was more local.
But yeah, Paddy, how do you rate our transfer window, which has just happened?
I mean, we've got some players in that have added obvious quality, like Nicky Adams. I think Hilsner's fantastic.
I do think he's great.
We've kept hold of McElhenney as well. We've kept Clark. I'm a big fan of Clark, really. I know he makes quite a few errors. Cheltenham, he was culpable for both goals, but you've got to remember he's a young lad playing his first season in the Football League, and he's been asked to carry that defence, really, with various partners he's had next to him. So we've managed to keep him.
Yeah.
Adams, obviously. I think we're missing a trick not playing Adams elsewhere, either further up the field or inside. I feel like he's wasted at right back. But, you know, he's doing really well. Hilsner, like I said, I think's a really good player. The biggest problem for me, and, you know, obviously we all know it because it was all on Twitter last Monday when it was transfer deadline day, is that we haven't replaced Rowe in terms of getting an out-and-out striker. and we haven't got an experienced centre half. Well, we do, but obviously he's training at Avro every day with the youth team. But you know, that's been done to death now anyway. So, but we haven't signed an experienced centre half to go in there. The two real key things that I'd have thought we'd have been looking for last week. I mean, we brought the lad from Peterborough, who by all accounts is a tidy player, but do we really need a winger? You know, from what I read on Saturday, again just via Twitter, it sounded like he wasn't even going to be in the squad. Now I understand he's missed quite a few weeks, but is it, I think, like, do we really need a left winger on loan again when we've got seven loans anyway? You can only have five in. You know, there's other areas there we could have strengthened, notably centre half or striker. Because I was talking to a mate of mine and he pointed out, and I'd not really clocked it myself, but the only out and out striker that we actually have on the books at the moment is Junior Luamba. Because, you know, you couldn't really say Grant's an out and out striker. McElhenney is playing out wide, isn't he? Bahambula, I think, gives you a lot more when he's out wide. So the only out and out striker we've actually got on the books is Junior Luamba.
What about Blackwood?
Well, he doesn't count, does he? Has he not been put down?
Well, he's popping up on Diarra's Instagram every now and again. He's on the bike a lot.
He's another though, isn't he? He was playing out wide quite a bit. Was it the Exeter game where he played out wide?
Yeah, he played left wing.
I mean, I wasn't particularly impressed with him when he did play, and he obviously he's come from Australia. It takes a lot of time to get used to, so perhaps it's unfair to judge him so soon. But I think to put all your hopes on him is a bit unrealistic. Similar with Durnley, really, because you can't trust Durnley to play, you know, more than three or four games in a row at the moment. With him breaking down like he does, he obviously needs to be managed well, or better, should I say. And it just seemed a no-brainer. I mean, you're looking, obviously the Latics fans all disagree with each other about many things, but the one constant that everybody was saying is we need a striker to replace Danny Rowe and we need an experienced centre-half, because they're not going to resolve the differences that they've got with David Wheater anytime soon. So, you know, it was glaringly obvious there for everybody to see, apart from Harry Kuehl or Mohamed or Abdallah, whoever makes the decisions.
Do you think do you think Harry Kuehl wanted that experienced centre-half and that centre-forward? Or do you think it might come from more?
I'd like to think Harry Kuehl, who's played football, won the Champions League, played in loads of different countries, can realise that what that team's lacking, they're lacking a leader at the back and a centre-forward. I'd like to think that someone who's been around football as long as Harry Kuehl has would appreciate that. Obviously, whether he makes those decisions, I don't know. But you'd like to think he would notice that.
I think I agree with you, Paddy. You know, you go on about like Clark there. Yeah, I'm sometimes doubted him, but I think you're right, he needs someone with massive experience inside of him. Obviously, I don't want to keep repeating it. We know we've got it, but obviously we haven't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as January turned and as soon as New Year's Day, I thought, right, get a centre half in. And you know what? We haven't.
No.
For the whole month, we didn't get a centre half in, and you know, we know where the problem is. We know we've kept one clean sheet all season, Paddy, against Grimsby. Yeah. You know where our problems lies, and like you said, not many Latics fans agree on a lot, but certainly this is where we needed a centre half and a centre forward. But you know, wouldn't you think when Danny Rowe left, guys, wouldn't you think that there were one lined up? Because I did.
Yeah, you'd have thought so, wouldn't you? You would have thought, right, well, we're getting rid of, you know, because he played the week before, hadn't he? He played on the Saturday and we sell him on the Wednesday or something.
It was Walshall's last game, weren't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Mansfield, weren't it? Because apparently there was a bit of an argument with Moore after the game.
But he played on the Saturday as well, though, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. Because we got beat, didn't we? Singer. Yeah, you're right. I think it was Matt Walsall, weren't it?
You'd have liked to have thought that Harry Kuehl wouldn't have sanctioned it unless there was a replacement coming in. I've seen his quotes today about Durnley and Blackwood being like two new signings, but it doesn't really wash with me. You'd have thought he'd only sanction that move if he knew that there was somebody else coming in. Because regardless of your opinion of Danny Rowe, he was our main centre-forward. He was the centre-forward that was starting the games for us.
Yeah,
you
know, was.
Whether you think he scores enough goals or you don't, he was our centre-forward and he's not been replaced.
No. Well, I heard that was after Andy Cook. I don't know if you lads heard that we went in for him on loan.
Well, gee, I'd rather not sign anyone than sign Andy Cook. Bloody hell.
Right. I get your point, but, you know, looking at it now, Paddy, we haven't got a centre-forward, as you say. You know, we haven't got a number nine, you know. And yeah, I think... You know, that's my opinion. I think he were better than anyone else. But, you know, obviously, you know, the owners or whoever pick these, you know, clearly believe that the squad is good enough. But obviously we know, and Brad knows, and everyone else knows that that isn't the case. Now, apart from defence and centre-half, Paddy, obviously, you know, it's one in, one out system, as you know, because our squad, you know, with all the money and that. Who else would have gone, Paddy? Is that a case of no one could have gone? And that's why we haven't brought any in. Is that that's the case?
I think we could have afforded to send one of the loans back, preferably, you know, Ben Garrity. I think I think he's perhaps, you know, especially now we've got seven loans in. I mean, one mate of mine is a big fan of Garrity. He loves a headless chicken who just runs around and tackles people. But it's one of those. Obviously, Hamer was an obvious one to go because, you know, he's been poor this season, but there was interest in him, so, you know, it was an obvious one for him to go. In terms of everyone else, I don't really know who we've got who we could really offload. I'm a bit disappointed in, I will mention him, I'm a bit disappointed in Wheater, really, because I'd have thought he'd have liked to have maybe come into the manager and said, right, I'm 32, 33, whatever I am, pay up my contract, I want to go and play for somebody else because I'm never going to play for your club. You know, offer me a settlement, I'll go and play somewhere else, or loan me out, send me on loan to Rochdale or wherever. You know, he'd have teams that would take him on.
Yeah, of course he would.
I just feel like he can do stuff to defuse this situation. He could have moved on. That could have given us a bit more leeway in the budget maybe to get somebody else in. But apart from that, really, I don't really know. Who would we get interest in, really?
I don't.
Bambula, maybe, but if he'd have gone, you know, we'd have burnt the stadium down.
Would you have looked to offload, Brad, if you was, you know, if that were the case of, you know, it's basically one in, one out system?
There's not really anyone now. Obviously, our only sellable asset was Hamer. And obviously, we got peanuts for him, haven't we, really, than what he was going to go for a few seasons back. But if you look at it now, at the squad of people you're more than likely going to leave for a fee, the obvious ones, which we've already mentioned, McAlenny, but he's out of contract in the summer, and Bambula, he's got an extension, but more than likely, he's probably wanting to move up the leagues next season, but there's actually no one else you can think of. Obviously, we touched on the defensive side, about the centre-halves. How many centre-halves do we actually have? We do have quite a few on the books. A few of them don't actually make the squad, like Diarra, you've got John Batty, you've got Pierre Gianni, you've got Clark.
Jameson.
So, honestly, is it just the recruitment's been so poor that we left with the players we got and we couldn't get into centre-half in?
I mean, in terms of recruitment, like, I always think back to when Abdallah came in and he said how he had all these contacts in Europe and how he was going to take us to a new level. But in terms of the foreign recruitment, it's worse than it was pre-Abdallah. You know, we used to get players in like Bordeaux, Timmy Dieng, Kasunga. They were of a much better quality than the signings that this fella who reckons he's got loads of contacts across Europe's bringing in.
Yeah.
I mean, is Diarra coming as social media manager or something? What's his
name? You follow him on Instagram?
No, but Nathan always sends me his videos.
he's class. I think Barfoot Jackson's not a fan of him because he always seems to have a camera in his face going, Mr. Money in the Bank.
Right. I bet it's worth a few quid then.
Yeah.
So speaking about that, Paddy, what's your opinion? See, I've seen very mixed opinions on him now. I want your opinion on Barfoot Jackson. I quite like him. I know he does get a bit of stick, but what's your opinion on him?
I think he's a lovely footballer, but he performs like he doesn't want to be there most of the time. I'm sure that's not the case, but He came on as sub. Was it a sub against Mansfield? And within 2 minutes, he got dispossessed, and they went through and scored to make it 3-1.
3-1, yeah.
His body. I mean, you know, we mentioned McElhenney before, and perhaps he doesn't offer as much for his own fullback as you'd maybe like. And you know, at Salford, everything was coming over Borthwick Jackson's side. He was having a torrid time, really.
Yeah.
But there's obviously a player in there somewhere. You know, you don't play 10 games for Man United if you're not of a decent standard, do you?
No, absolutely not. I think he's like he needs to get more forward. I think he's more. He's got a lovely ball on him. I think he's got a right good ping on him. He can get it in the box, you know, to good areas. But most three times this season, I've counted, Paddy, that he's done three lovely balls in the box and there's no one at the end of them. And I think, you know, that's what I like to see from a left back. But we don't see it a lot more than we should. But I like him. I think he's a good... Whether he'll be here next season, I don't know.
He's another on a 1 year, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, there's not many in contract for next season, is there?
No, We've got Whelan, Durnley, Bahambula, if he signs his extension. I think Hamer was one, weren't he?
Piergiani's on there, I think.
Who is?
Piergiani, I think he's got a 2-year deal.
Oh, I bet he's delighted he signed that.
We will. Now, hey, while you mentioned that, what's your thoughts on him as well, Paddy? That's Piergiani. You know, obviously he's come from a Salford team that he can't get in, and he's walked straight in here and he's club captain.
Well, I mean, when he came in last January, he was pretty decent, really, alongside his centre-half partner. And I thought it was a no-brainer to sign him. Obviously, he's been a shadow of himself this season. You know, not helped by everything that's going on around him in terms of his full-backs. You know, one week it's Badan, one week it was Barnett, one week it was Borthwick Jackson. Then we had Clark pushed out to right back sometimes. And, you know, similar to what I said with Clark, really, they've been, you know, messed around quite a bit at the back. But I was one of the few who actually did agree with him being taken out of the team. The problem is, it's who you've got to come into the team to replace.
Yes, yeah.
But he seemed to me like he was struggling quite a lot, really. There was a lot of pressure on him because he was the captain. He was costing us a lot of goals and a lot of chances as well. And the keeper, who I know, comes in for a lot of stick, was bailing him out quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I'd stick him back in on Saturday now. But I think it was... I do think it was right for Harry Keogh to take him out of the team for a couple of weeks.
Like you said, Paddy, you know, who do you put him in with? It's all right doing that. But, you know, would you say since he's been out of the team, the defence has improved?
Well, no, I don't think it has really, no.
You know, that's my point. If it has improved, then yeah, fair enough. Obviously, if you think he's coming back in, you know, you think you should put him back in, then clearly, obviously, it hasn't, has it? You know,
no, it hasn't.
You know, and that's a sad state, isn't it, when you're putting someone out there and, you know, performances are just still leaking goals. Now, obviously, we look at the defence, Paddy, you know, keep leaking goals. I think midfield's a bigger problem. Me, but you know, defensively, I don't think Mutambo is good enough.
No,
I just think he's just shouldn't even be on that pitch. You know, you got Garrity, who I'm sorry, you know, he can't even pass the ball. Now, what's your opinion on it, Brad? With you know the defensive mid, you know, do you think they cause us a lot more problems?
I always make my opinions known about Garrity on when he plays. He's atrocious. He's non-league standard. He puts in a tackle, but so you watch him, he's good at breaking up play, but he can't pass a ball. He just passes it to anyone. It's just that, like Paddy said before, he's an endless chicken. And older fans love endless chickens. They love a good player who they love to clap. He looks like they're doing a lot of work. But similar to like Danny Filliscope, he just didn't do much. But he ran around a lot, so he got applause. Yeah, but yeah, Ntambwe, he's another one, he's terrible. And like I said, McCalmont's our best midfielder, but he doesn't seem to play him that much.
No. I thought he was on a 6-month loan, me, you know. I expected him to come back, but he did sign till the end of the year, didn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah. I thought he was excellent against Salford in the second half. I thought he was real. For me, the two that should be playing as in the centre is Hilsner and McCalmont. Yeah. And that's no questions. I mean, you get a lot of people, don't you, saying, you know, you need a ball winner in there. Well, my argument to that is, well, why don't you just have two players in there who'll keep the ball so you don't have to win the ball back?
Yeah.
You know, the reason Ntamwe has to go and win the ball back is because he keeps giving it away. The reason Usman Fein used to always win the ball back was because he kept giving it away. If you get two players in there, like Hilsner and McAlmont, who can look after the ball, because I think Hilsner's a lot better playing deeper, like he did against Newport, then that gives then a bit of rein to your McElhenney's, your Bamboulas, your Keeler Duns, your, I don't even know who else we've got now, Durnley, you know, Grant. You know, it gives them more rein then. If you've got two that can just keep all the ball, keep things ticking over.
Yeah. Now, obviously, Paddy, I spoke to you in the past about Bamboula, and I remember you claiming to me that he's rather one of the two things, isn't he? One really good or one really bad. So do you want to tell me what you think now?
Oh, he's sensational, isn't he? I love him. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, I think he gets you off your seat, doesn't he? I know we're not going to get off this seat, but he's certainly one of them players, isn't he?
Well, he's the reason that you do pay to go and watch football games, isn't he? You know, he can easily fall over the ball, but at least he's trying to do things. You know, I fought against Bournemouth. He was that good against Bournemouth. I thought Bournemouth wouldn't let him get back on the team coach and would have kept him down there.
Yeah.
I thought he was fantastic. Even when things aren't going well, you know, like when they played Newport, pitch was horrendous in December and he was still trying things. And I'm more willing to give people a bit of leeway for bad performances if they're trying to create things, trying to make things happen. I mean, did you see the clip when we played Barrow where he got the ball and I think he megged two of their players and then passed it straight to the Barrow centre midfielder? And that just summed up what he can do and then what he's also capable of doing, you know, the other side. But no, I think he's fantastic. And it's about time they blooming brought one over that was actually contributing something to the team.
Yeah, I'd agree. I agree. But obviously we know he's a winger more than a. So obviously, I think he plays centre forward one game. I can't remember for the life of me who it was now. You know, because obviously I'm not.
He can't play up front on his own. He looks a bit lost. He's better on the wing, either side, and you can cut in and stuff like that. He's got a decent delivery on him.
I mean, when he's bad, he's a waste of a shirt. And you know, Forest Green, he was pretty bad. I know it got abandoned and. There was no point in being on that pitch, but you know he's always capable of making something happen. So you know I can't fault him. I love him. I think he's fantastic, and it's something that we need, isn't it?
Definitely. One last thing I would say before we move on from the squad side. Obviously, we did touch on we have got the seven loan players. Who would you both keep out the squad? Out the loan players.
Garrity. And I don't know. I can't even answer the next one. I really can't. You'll have to leave that with me. I really can't. I'll go Garrity. I don't know. I can't answer that.
I'd say Garrity and Taz Demir at the moment, just because I'm not sure we need a left winger like Taz Demir is. I believe, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet at the weekend, but I believe they were the two that were likely to miss out well on Saturday. But I don't think they'd be the obvious choices at the moment to miss out.
I know you might disagree, but if Durnley stayed fit, I'd probably say Grant then.
Yeah, 100%.
He's on loan,
Grant, I don't know why we didn't make that one permanent, because it's just a waste of a loan.
Yeah.
Yeah, bloody hell, I forgot he was on loan.
Yeah, someone, but I, do you know what I did until, I think it was Brad, I think it was you or so, I think it was you or Ross Coyne, one of them, said he is on loan, and I thought, yeah, he is from Wrexham, isn't he? On loan from Wrexham.
I definitely would have said, try and make him permanent. I think we might still be able to make him permanent, because I know Chad Evans has only just gone permanent, and if from Preston.
Yeah. So I think you still can make a permanent. I think you're right. I think, but even is it like a contract till the end of the season, I just think, you know, it frees up a lot. And then it's only one player missing out then, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I put it. So what would you say, Paddy? Shall you go for Taz, whatever his name is, I can't pronounce his name, and Garrity?
Yeah. Taz Demir and Garrity. At the moment, Taz Demir and Garrity would be the obvious choices. I mean, because of how depleted we are up front, you'd probably argue that that Grant needs to be in the squad, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd probably go Tasdemir and Garrity at the moment.
What would you do, Brad? What would you say? What?
Yeah, 100% Garrity shouldn't be anywhere near as well. I think we should terminate his loan. And as I said, Tasdemir is probably the one because he's probably not fit. He's not played that many games. We need someone like Grant. He's not really an out-and-out striker, but he does seem to pop up with a goal every now and again and does hold it up well.
And an elbow.
Yeah, and an elbow. So yeah, I'd definitely be them two, but maybe it might be Garrity Garrity and Grant when it does get fit, Tasdemir, because obviously Peterborough aren't going to let him loan him out to us to not be playing.
So, but you could say that about any of the loan players.
Yeah,
though,
definitely.
None of them are going to loan them to sit in the stands.
No. Definitely.
Well, we have a lot of loan players, which I never thought we would have. I think this is the highest I've ever seen, is that I have loan players.
But always remember Abdallah's statement when he turned around and said that we were moving away from loan players.
Yeah. And I don't sign over 30-odd-year-olds on a no longer than a year deal. Nicky Adams. Should we...
Maybe look at it from the point that he's realised that wasn't the way to go, maybe, and he's maybe learning a few from a few of his mistakes.
I'll always like to say, if someone proves out the wrong and admits the wrong, then fair enough, but he's probably not going to, is he? So.
Speaking of Abdallah, obviously, when we last spoke, the club was a bit, we spoke a lot, obviously, about the turmoil. How do you see the club now?
Since the last podcast,
we're still in a bit of a mess, really. That we're still at war with our most experienced player.
Yeah.
Obviously, the sporting director's back in the country now, and I don't know if he is influencing things, but by all accounts, there sounds like there was a bit of a dispute with Danny Rowe, maybe after one of the games. So I think the same issues in the club still apply. The biggest issue in the club is obviously the sporting director. All you needed to do was listen to your own podcast last week, podcast that other people have released, Brody's podcast last week, what other people who've coming out of the club are saying, that the issue at the club seems to be the sporting director at the moment. The sporting director is going to remain at that club until his brother sells the club. That's not going to change. It doesn't matter how many managers you have, how many people say the sporting director is the issue. As long as his brother owns that football club, he is going to be our sporting director. So I know what you're saying, Brad, in terms of, we're not getting any reports of unpaid wages. Fantastic. I don't know what the score is with the rent, for the Joe Royal stand, the OEC. I don't know what the score is with that. Obviously Abdallah's out of the country, which helps a lot. But as far as I can see, nothing's really changing. We're winning a few games and we're losing a few games, but nothing changes my point of view in terms of how I feel the club is and what I want from the club, which is a new owner to take us in a different direction. Nothing will change that.
My view is, obviously we were doing all right. We just beat Newport just before Christmas. Obviously, unfortunately, got beat off Harrogate, which we deserve to be. Then at Grimsby, he's earning a stand again, Paddy. And it's like seeing you just look and you think, oh no, he's here. He's here. Yeah. You just know something's going to happen, don't you? I don't want it to, but you just know it's inevitable, don't you? And, it's not been good, has it?
Well, no, I mean, like you said, if there was, I'm not saying there was, but that's what the rumour is, if there was an issue with Danny Rowe, then that's obviously come from when the sporting director's been back and they've had a disagreement, again, if that's true. Brad, because the fans haven't been allowed into games, we don't know if the issue's still going with the North Stand in terms of if fans are allowed in there. So it all goes quiet from that point of view because there's no fans allowed in the ground.
No. Do you think that will ever be sorted, Paddy? If Abdallah and Moore did stay at the club and was here in another 2 years, do you honestly believe that will be sorted?
I think it has to be because the position had just become untenable. I think if he's going to be here in the next 2 years, he'll have bought that stand, surely. You know, I don't think he's going to let it drag on for another 2 years without buying it. I mean, I said to you last time, and I don't really get what he's getting from it at the moment. He's obviously, and to his credit, obviously putting money into the club. He's not getting a lot of thanks for it. He's getting people like me come on here, you know, lots of other people quite more vocal than I am about his reign. So if in an extra 2 years, if he hasn't bought that stand, I don't think he'll be at the club, surely. And if he is, I'd start to really, really question his motives, perhaps, for owning the club.
Well, we've got a very good friend, haven't we, Brad, who always on about this, about, you know, is there something in the background that he's not telling us that is a front for it? You know, is there something there that, you know, that's hidden? That is there for a reason? Is he there for a reason to run Oldham Athletic and see us do successful? Or is he there for his own, you know, his own preference? You know what I mean? You know what I'm getting at, don't you?
I think the main man's his brother, isn't it? He is the main man. I know Abdallah owns a club in name, but I think his brother's the main man, really.
Of him at training, you know, what's he doing there? What is he doing there?
I think it probably is common practice for a sporting director to be at training. I think the biggest question would be, why is he our sporting director?
Yeah.
But I think it probably is common practice for a sporting director to be at training.
Yeah. Definitely. Or kick a ball and fall over.
Well,
you know, at least you can have a bit of laugh about it. But, you know, I know we laugh about it, but, you know, this is serious, Paddy. You know, it's the future of Oldham, isn't it? And, you know, when you see these two in charge of us, and like you said, not much has probably changed since the last podcast you had with us, but, you know.
I think we've got away with it a lot because fans haven't been allowed into the ground.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if we were allowed into the ground, I think Harry Kewell would have been sacked about November time. And the pressure would have been really ramped up on the, you know, the hierarchy, really.
Yeah.
Definitely agree on that point, that the other needs arise due to the COVID on there. So, yeah, definitely agree on that one. Obviously, he's been in the clubs now 6 months. Carl Evans, is he an improvement on Natalie?
Absolutely, yeah. But that's... That's more, well, I'm not saying anything else about that. But, yeah, I think he's definitely an improvement on the previous owner. He's obviously very outspoken. But, you know, at least he's willing to meet different fans groups. I know Natalie, when the PTB wanted to meet her, she wanted to go through different people. I think she wanted Richard Bolden to kind of be a middleman.
Yeah.
At least Carl, you know, has got the minerals to tackle these things head on. A lot of things he's off Twitter now, isn't he? But a lot of things he was saying on Twitter, I didn't really agree with. I thought he was getting a bit too emotional about things. But, you know, at least he's fronting these issues head on.
Yeah.
We've been in meetings with the previous CEO, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Should we leave that one there?
It's best to like... Because I get wound up with it. So, but yeah, I think Carl's obviously, you know, he's more vocal, like you say. I know some people don't like it, but when you get someone not saying anything, they get slagged off for, oh, well, you're not saying anything. And when they do say something, they're still getting slagged off. So you're in a position where you can't win. But
You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the things he says. You know, I listen to... to a 2-hour podcast he did with the Boundary Park Alert System, and a lot of that I didn't particularly agree with, but I do admire the fact he, you know, he's willing to front up and, you know, take these challenges on head on and meet different people, you know, not just certain realistic fans. You know, he's happy to meet all different versions of fans with all their different opinions and feelings. The one thing that did surprise me, and I still can't get my head around it, is how he didn't appreciate the level of animosity between, you know, the strong feeling from Latics fans. I thought that had been one of the first things he'd have researched, how strongly we all felt about the way things have gone recently, the way things are still going. And it really took me aback when he said on the other podcast that he didn't really appreciate the strength of feeling.
Well, that's...
Definitely.
Go on, Brad.
because obviously it's going to be it's pretty obvious to see when you've got 300 people turning up to a protest, which is 10% of the fan base of they're protesting outside the club, and obviously a lot of people on Twitter, you just anybody is more or less Abdallah out. So I don't know how he didn't see, like you said there, Paddy, how he didn't see it there. Obviously, it's been easily reported in the news about the protests and on social media. You just have to have a check on the OSC hashtag. There's always someone popping up saying about Abdallah.
Yeah, you seem to think he'd done his research, wouldn't you?
You do literally just go onto Twitter, just search the hashtag, and there's a lot more people out there more vocal than us three, or maybe me and you, Nath, maybe not Brad. But there's a lot of people very vocal out there that, you know, you can just see, you can see the strength of feeling.
Yeah. Like you say, I thought he would have done his research. Because weren't his last club Bury? Is that right? Is that his last? You know, so he's coming from a poison club to another one. You know what I mean? So it was kind of like roles hasn't changed, if that makes sense. You know, you're coming from a club in with...
As a Latics fan there, your hope would be after being at Bury, he'd be able to spot, you know, the alarm bells. He'd be able to see, well, hang on, this isn't right. This is the way it was going at Bury. So you'd like to think he's perhaps maybe the best person to have in situ there because of the, you know, the mess that was Bury. Hopefully he'd be able to, you know, maybe draw parallels and say, well, this shouldn't be happening, this shouldn't be happening, and, you know, sort the mess out before it gets beyond repair.
Yeah, I just say, you know, like you say, at least he's more vocal. Like, I know the previous CEO weren't, you know, she turned up to a meeting with us, but she never, that was only it though, weren't it, Paddy? You never hardly heard from her. You know, it was just season tickets, this season tickets. That's all she ever banged on about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell this little story because it's probably not her fault at the moment. I applied for the club SLO role, you know, one of the volunteer roles back in June, I think it was. She emailed me to say I wasn't successful in getting an interview. Then she said that the interviews were going ahead and the positions were going to be filled. And we're now in February and I've not heard of anybody taking those roles. I think there were four support liaison officers and then one disability liaison officer.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong or somebody when they hear the podcast, I don't think those positions have been filled yet. So it'd be interesting to see what happened with that. Or maybe it was just that she didn't want me having one of those roles.
But why not? Why would you think that? Why? If that's, you think, obviously, she doesn't want you in that role. What comes to that conclusion?
Well, at the time, I was pretty outspoken, really, about Latics, really. I've tried to mellow quite a lot over this last season or so, try not to get involved in any arguments on the hashtag. But, you know, back then I was pretty vocal. I made my feelings very, very clear, and I'm not sure that was particularly appreciated by Natalie and others at the club, which is fair enough. Which is fair enough. It's their prerogative.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I definitely understand that point. Obviously, with Carl now, he's getting close to the time where season tickets, I think our earliest one was last year, I think the middle of February when they got announced. What do you see the club doing for season tickets this season? Obviously, we've got this season's season ticket holders. They put that little statement out last week saying about they're going to write to them individually. Obviously, they're at a loss this season, £230 for the iFollow membership when they've paid £270 for a season ticket. So there is a deficit there. What do you think is going to happen?
I really don't know. I think, to be honest, every club's in the same boat, aren't they? I think it's going to have to be a nationwide kind of agreement with what, you know, clubs will do with their fans. I bought a season ticket for this season. After being told that fans would be allowed back into the ground in October.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in February now. We're not in. We are more than likely not going to be allowed in before the end of the season. So I feel like I've been not stitched up because, you know, no one made me part with my money, but maybe led down the wrong path. But, you know, more fool me. In terms of next year, maybe just some acknowledgement of, do you know what, if they came out and acknowledged and said, we really appreciate what's happened, you know, a bit of an apology, a bit of a token for the club shop, maybe knock a few percent off your season ticket next year. You know, just some kind of acknowledgement is all we really want.
Yeah. Like you said, Paddy, as much as you want to hit games, obviously, for once, I'd much have liked to blame the club. Obviously, it's not our fault, their fault. We can't sit here at games on a Saturday. You know, as much as I want to blame them, obviously, that is totally out of our hands. If they want fans back in, I'm pretty sure we'd have fans back in. It's whether you're being promised by October that you're having. They shouldn't be making promises like that when they ain't got that decision in their hands, shouldn't they?
Well, it wasn't a promise, Nate. I was just kind of advised by somebody who we've mentioned on this podcast already. I was advised by that person that fans should be allowed back in the ground in October. And I know other clubs perhaps felt the same as well. And we did actually at some point, was it in about November? I think some fans did go into games, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, but in terms of next, I mean, for the club, I think a big thing for next season tickets are going to be whether or not the North Stand will be open for them.
Yeah.
Because that's where most of the season ticket sales are going to be. I mean, for me, it'll be that family stand in the Rochdale Road end again next season. With all the other weirdos who go in there without kids like you two.
Next season, my little lad will be 2 years old, so I'll be able to eligible to bring him in.
I remember when Alfie was 2, he was crying at every game for about the first 6 months at the end.
What, to go home?
Yeah, he didn't like the noise. He didn't like the cheering. He didn't like Chaddy Owl. Absolutely petrified of Chaddy the Owl. I mean, luckily I'm over that now. I've just got them both watching it with me on a Saturday on the laptop now as well. So that's something. But God, yeah.
We sit in there a lot because obviously we have like a busload going from the pub. Probably about 6-7 kids going there, so that's why we go in there. But if the season would have gone with fans in the season, me and Brad have already discussed that we were going to go to the Rocky Road and big section because obviously. Yeah, we were going to go in there. There was a guy at top corner, right, in top right corner that would do me head in, so...
Me?
No, but like you say, you know, I don't think the stewards appreciate me in there because I was swearing and, you know, but, you know, the stewards were like, you need to stop, it's a family stand, which I understand, but, you know, emotions run high, Paddy.
It's funny how, life comes full circle because about 10 years ago, I was that person swearing in the family stands. And now I'm frowning upon people that dare to swear in front of my children.
Yeah. Sometimes I think obviously now you've had a kid, obviously two kids, that you do mellow and you do calm down. But you know, if you went on a away game or home game without your kids, Paddy, I think you'd be more vocal. Would you say? You know, what would you? So are you looking to bring yours, Thomas, to a game soon? Then Brad, hopefully, to get him into
He's 2 in September, so I think maybe I'll give him till his February, March time, maybe, when I bring him. It depends how well we're doing. And,
you're not bringing him then?
What's the club like on there? So, yeah, there's thoughts of me bringing him, but we'll see what it is. One final point, Paddy.
Brad, just interrupt you with that.
Go on.
Alfie was 11 days old when I took him to his first game.
11 days 11? Old?
Yeah.
Wow.
How long did you last?
For the record, Paddy, who was
he? He just slept all game.
Bloody hell.
Fleetwood 1-0. Beat Fleetwood 1-0. Danny Filliskirt scored and Darren Kelly were manager.
Oh, that was for Stone Game at season,
yeah,
wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, his birthday's August, so it's like... Right. We'd only got him home a few days before. There's a lot of arguing at home about taking him. And obviously, we're only around the corner. So I said, I'll take him. And then, you know, if he starts playing up, just come round and get him. And then he was just asleep in my arms all game.
I'm not surprised. If I remember that game, I think I did.
that was the easiest it's been taking him.
Yeah.
So what advice then? Obviously, when did you? When, so they obviously when has anyone been when they two before they were two? Other than Alfie.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby started going when he was about 18 months. He just basically, I've got like, I take a rucksack with me and just stuff it with sweets and, you know, drinks. And like, we use that tuck shop quite a lot and you give them an iPad at half. They're actually, to be fair, they're really, really good. Yeah. They are pretty good and they do start to take notice quite a bit of what's going on. So,
but do you think they'll have the passion of you got, Paddy?
Yeah, they haven't, but I was mentioning last week.
Do you think they will have, though?
Oh, I hope so. I do hope so. But when I was Alfie's five now. When I was his age, I'd had one favourite player, which was Gunnar Haller, and I had him for another three seasons after that. And Alfie's already on his eighth favourite player. Because you know, because people just keep. He's Cal Piergiani now.
Oh, he could be the one going.
You know why though? He thinks it's hilarious that he's got long hair. So that's why it's his favourite player. He used to see me bald.
Brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, before you do go, Pay, on the last podcast, you said that we've firmly been mid-table. We are 13th at the moment. Do you still stick by that? Were we 8 points off the playoffs, 10 points off relegation?
Yeah, I think we concede too many goals to be anywhere near the playoffs, and I think we score too many goals to be anywhere near relegation. I think between 13th and 18th, and I've got a big sign for you two saying "I told you so" anyway from back then when you guys were crying into your Stellas thinking we were going to get relegated, and I said there's no way on this earth we're going to get relegated from this division.
No, not with the likes of. I think we'll finish 12th. I'll go 12th, but I look at the teams at bottom me, Paddy. I seriously think Grimsby are going to drop.
I've got a bet with a mate. I pick a team every season, £50 for them to get promoted. And I chose Grimsby this season on the basis of Dean Holloway.
Who did you make go for?
No, I just pick the team and I get, if they get promoted, I win the bet. And if they don't, then he wins the bet. So I've offered him a cash out already.
Well, they just signed Giles Cork, haven't they, Grimsby?
Have they really? Have
they? Yeah, just they signed absolute two cloggers, obviously, got Giles Cork and John Lewis Lendl, is it?
All right, he used to play for them as well, didn't he?
Yeah, they signed some absolute horrible players.
Jesus. Where do you think we'll finish, Brad? Where do you think we'll go?
I think where we are now.
You think?
Yeah, where we are now. I can't see us dropping much lower.
Just like you said, Paddy, you know, we've mentioned in other parts. Wouldn't it be just be good? Obviously get the playoffs. I know it's not going to happen, but you never know. But not ruling it out. I'm not saying it is going to be, but I'm not ruling it out. But wouldn't it just be good to finish top 12, Paddy, to see it in the top half of a division?
I get what you're saying. I do get what you're saying, but it's the fourth division.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think finishing the top half of the fourth division is anything to be... To fuss about.
Absolutely not. We should be getting out of this. I couldn't agree with more. I'll say it now. We should be getting out of this division. But wouldn't it be good just to finish in the top half and think it's just finishing the top half, Paddy? Something we haven't done for since 1907.
I mean, to be honest, I don't get too hung up about position. If we're not challenging for promotion, I'm not really fussed. We could finish 16th for all I care.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not challenging up there, then I'm not bothered about finishing top half.
But we should be though, shouldn't we, Paddy?
I was just thinking here, this conversation's a bit doom and gloom from my perspective, innit? I think maybe you need to get one of the realistic lads on next week.
Don't get me started on that group. I tell you, I've been banned off it since 2016 because I had a do with one of them. But what is your view on that, Paddy? I went to ask you that. What is your view on that group? There's some poorly people on there, isn't there?
There's some passionate people, and you know they've got their opinions, and not opinions I necessarily agree with, but you know everyone's entitled to it. I mean, the two that you were having the dispute with at Cheltenham last season, to accept the kind, because these guys have been around while we've been up in the Premier League, and you know beating Arsenal in the Cup and at Wembley in the Littlewoods Cup final, for them guys to appreciate and accept where we are now, I can't get my head around at all.
It's not. What's your view on it, Brad?
No comment. I would love somebody from that side of the group just to come on, just to speak and have a chat with them. But obviously, some of them are quite hostile.
Yeah.
Do you know though? There's a couple who when you do speak to them, they're all right. They're decent. Yeah. You know, they're decent guys, and they've got decent decent opinions really. But for some reason, they go really over the top.
Paddy, we want them on here. I'll say it now, if anyone's listening, we're not going to give them a grilling. We're not going to persecute their opinion. That you know, they share the same as us. We love Oldham Athletic. You know, we want them to come in on the views and on here, and you know, maybe I'll take on board what they're saying, and maybe agree with them with what they're saying on some points. But Paddy, not one of them will come on because they just think we're totally against. But if you want to look through our podcast, Paddy, I know you're quite a regular listener to on these podcast, we have been quite positive, you know, haven't we?
You've been more positive than perhaps I'd have thought you would have been.
You know, we're not just against, you know, we just want the best for the club. But when they sit back and allow it to happen and just think everything's rosy when 95% of the fan base don't, you know, there's something not right, isn't there?
There's still a few insiders there in the in that group who you know. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah, big time.
You've still got a few inside men there that let us know what's being said in that group.
Yeah, there's a few. We have a few watching out there. I think, like I said, I think I said it to Rick. I said about half that group in there, half of them are other accounts that people have.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me because some of the names that crop up, I think, and, you know, look at them, I think, I've never seen you at a game in my life.
Yeah, no. You're right. You know, most of them. I think most of them, because, you know, and what bugs me about it, most of them are quite, you know, getting on a bit, you know. Should we say over 55, 58, you know what I mean? These people have seen us in the best days of our club's history, where we've, you know, I don't know whether you might have been a tail end of it, but I've not seen nothing since 1997, Paddy, and same goes for Brad. We've seen nothing, so I think we share that view of, you know, we're desperate for something, aren't we? We are. We're desperate for something.
I think that's what you touched on last week with Pete Wild, wasn't it, about the Fulham game? And now, you know, he likes to mention the Fulham game, doesn't he, Pete Wild?
But, oh, I don't.
I know that, you know, a lot of younger fans, that's kind of been one of their greatest moments watching Latics, which is, you know, it's pretty sad, really, but it's one of mine as well.
Yeah, you know, that's it. But we just want the best for the club. We just, you know, people just have a go at us. I've been screamed at, shouted at, swore at, abused. You know, most of them call me Fat Paddy, but, you know, I don't know where they're getting their eyesight from. You know, because we're just passionate. Don't get me wrong, when we've had a drink, you know, like the rest of them, you know, you can easily go over the top, but just think it's passion and emotions running high. But like I say, I'll say it now and I'll keep repeating it. Any of them want to come on this, you're welcome, just inbox us and we'll get you on. That's it, simple as that.
Definitely, but yeah, a pleasure there, Paddy.
No, cheers for having me on again. Cheers.
Yeah, you're welcome, Paddy. We're good. Take care, mate.
See you later, guys. Bye-bye. I try to.